Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Like us to open up to Psalm 119, going through verse 9 through 16. Give me a moment to turn there. Say amen when you're there. Amen. All right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. With the Lord's help this morning, I would like to speak on this thought of the power of the hidden word. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for what you've given me to speak to your people today. Use me as a vessel, Lord. Give me the words to enlighten your people, to encourage us, Lord God, to give us direction. Have your will and have your way in this place this morning. For thy will be done, Lord God, for your glory, your honor, Jesus. I give it to you. I praise your holy name, and I give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. In our opening verse, it says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to kind of focus in on this. There's a few things that he says here. First of all, he has hidden the word of the Lord in his heart with the concept that I put the word of the Lord in my heart so that I'll stay true to God's word. But he says, I will meditate on thy precepts. What is a precept? A precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. And then he moves on to say that he will delight himself in the statutes of the Lord, which, what is a statute? Is a law set forth by God. So he's setting himself up for guidance, laws, structure based, you know, set up by God. But then, you know, you may kind of go, well, so is this a whole bunch of do's and don'ts, right? Is this structure of hiding the word of the Lord in my heart a whole bunch of what I can or can't do? And I want to say, no, there's way more to it than that, because especially the way that he words it, he's not just going into following the statutes of the Lord, but he's delighting himself in them. And so I dug in, and as you go in, it's more of just rules and laws, but it's relationship based as well, right? So as he seeks after the word of the Lord and he's hiding it in his heart, there's relationship that's growing. And so I went through seeking after what all God has in for this for us. And I come on to the next scripture is Matthew 11, 28 through 38 is Jesus speaking, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which a yoke, I mean, that's a working tool. So there's labor to be had, but he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, know me, come to this relationship status of knowing who I am. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hiding the word of the Lord in our heart. It's not a quick just set of rules. It's relationship. And God is going to give us tools to use. So I went in and I was like, okay, so if I'm hiding the word of the Lord in my heart, there's relationship base. There's power there. And what all power do we see in the scripture? And the first point I want to bring us to is the power to defeat the enemy. So, in Ephesians, we see the layout of putting on the full armor of God, right? So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take ye unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth. So God has given us truth. Having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, of course, is the word of the Lord, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all preservation and supplication for the saints. Next scripture verse I want to go to is Psalm 119, 110, and 112 is, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not erred from thy precepts. So I've put on the full armor of God. I've hidden the word of the Lord in my heart. I'm walking. I'm pursuing after this relationship with God. I'm pursuing on growing myself in God. And yet the enemy is setting up snares. So I've got power to defeat the enemy. And I've not erred from the precepts, which we said is a general rule intended to guide or govern your thoughts, your intentions. So I'm protected by the word of God. I've hidden the word of the Lord in my heart. We see Jesus give an excellent example of this. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, we see Jesus goes out into the wilderness. He's fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And he goes out into the wilderness, and right off the bat in verse 1, it says, Jesus is led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. No, the Spirit brings Jesus to the place of trial, but the Spirit doesn't tempt Jesus. It's Satan that's tempting Jesus, right? And then, excuse me, Satan comes. And right off the bat, I mean, he's not eaten for 40 days. So right off the bat, Satan hits the flesh, that natural desire to eat. And he says, why don't you make these stones, turn these stones into bread? And it's awesome. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right away, he goes into the written word and says, hey, I know that this bread will satisfy my needs for this moment in the flesh, but based off of Scripture, it's saying that I can't live by bread alone, but I need the word of the Lord. And then Satan takes Jesus up to the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he says, you know, cast yourself down from here and then call upon the angels to save you. And it's kind of neat because throughout Scripture, even beginning in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, Satan always will take a little bit of truth, a little bit of the Word of God, and twist it. So here he's saying, you know, well, God, you know, the Word says that you're not going to be wounded or damaged, you know, so the angels are going to save you. He's using a little bit of truth, but twisting it. And Jesus says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So again, he goes back to the Word. And it's key here that we know the truth, that we know the Word as the way the Word is. That we can see, hey, yes, you've got a little bit of truth that's coming against me, but it's not the whole truth. It's not the full story. It's not the full picture. And then Satan brings Jesus to a place where he shows him the nations, the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he says, I'll give you these things. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Now, this is a sidestep here, but we all, I believe, are familiar with this story of Jesus being tempted of Satan. But something that I kind of question within myself is, the first we know is flesh, of saying, hey, bread, satisfy your flesh. And Jesus shoots that down. The second one is saying, well, God's got you, you know, you can do that. But the third temptation here, he's presenting him the nations of the world. Now, as a man, in flesh, we can say, I may desire to rule or to possess this, but at the same time, I feel like in this instance that Satan is tempting the God side of Jesus, saying, hey, I have the nations of the world, and I'll give them back to you. All you have to do is worship me. He may be tempting the God side of him at this point, and Jesus, again, goes back to the Scripture, and he says, get away from me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. He knows the full picture. He knows his purpose here on earth. Of course, he's God robed in flesh. He knows in the end, the nations are his anyways. He doesn't have to ask for them back. But Jesus gives this excellent, excellent example to us of using Scripture to defeat temptation, to win in the Spirit, and ultimately after this trial that he goes through, then angels come and minister unto Jesus. And going back to our Psalm 119, 10 through 12, the next verse is starting at verse 11. It says, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. So he's got the word of the Lord in his heart. He's withstood the snares. He's not lost the precepts. But here's something that's kind of interesting, is that thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage. A heritage is something that's passed down, something that's happened in the past that I'm holding on to, right? For this, the Word of God can stand on its own. But at the same time, as a man, as a human, as a person, if I have the Word of God, but I'm not seeing anything ever happening, obviously you will begin to question. You'll say, okay, it says this, but I'm not seeing fulfillment of any scriptures. But if I have something, an experience to stand on and say, hey, I first believed through faith, I took the scripture and applied it, and there was a result that happened. My faith is built, and I have a heritage to stand on. David is one that we see do this throughout his life. When he goes to King Saul to fight Goliath, he pulls back the heritage of, hey, back when I was watching my father's sheep out on the pasture, I killed a lion. I killed a bear. God protected me and God gave me strength. God gave me the ability to handle the situation. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like them. So he takes an experience that God has already brought him through. He applies it with faith and believing and knowing that, okay, I'm going to be able to take the next stand. And then a few years later, he's going and he's fleeing from his life from Saul. And he goes into the temple and he asks, hey, I've ran from the, you know, well, he doesn't say I've run from the king. He says, I've left in haste for the king's business required so. And he says, and I left my weapons. Is there a weapon here? And the priest says, well, there's a sword here. It's Goliath's sword. And you can have this one. And David says, give me that sword because there's none other like it. He's reaching back and taking he's reaching back to a previous victory, grabbing it and saying, hey, I'm going to move forward with this one. Then that story is in 1 Samuel. And then, again, he goes and he's king and he's ruling the people. We know that the children of Israel, the wives and children and everything is taken away. The people are starting to murmur and talk about stoning David. And he encourages himself in the Lord. He goes again to the temple, which is interesting that each time, now the past two times that he's gone back to stand on a heritage, he goes to the temple of the Lord. Where is his heritage being built up? It's in the temple. And he asks for the ephod, and he goes before the Lord and says, hey, I'm here at this point, and I don't have anybody to stand up with me. I'm on my own. What can I have? You know, what can I do to know that I'm going to succeed? And God gives him direction, and he does go, overtakes, and recovers all. So it's not only enough to just hide the word of the Lord in our heart, but that we also apply it, that we build a heritage to stand on. And as we grow, as we go through each step, that heritage is going to get us to the next level, and the next level, and the next level. If we take a look at the three servants of the rich man, he gave, you know, he gave talents to each servant, but the one servant buried the talent instead of using it. It's in a way, this is the same concept of, if I have the word of the Lord in my head, but I'm not ever applying it, if I'm never using it, then it's not going to help me grow. But I have to have it in my heart that I can actually use it and grow. Next step is the power of revelation. The word will reveal things unto us as we grow. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, a few months ago now, I talked about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus hid his identity physically from them, but on the road, I pointed out that Jesus revealed through Scripture who he was. And so by the time they got to Emmaus, these guys had a full understanding of who Jesus was. And then at that point, Jesus reveals himself in the flesh to them, and their eyes are open, and they're like, oh, man. But it's interesting that, you know, faith is not by sight, but by the hearing of the word. So Jesus hid the sight side of things, and he allowed them to hear the word, to apply the word, to see who he was, who the Christ was, who Jesus of Nazareth was, not through sight, but through the hearing of the word and of knowledge of what they had just experienced over the past few years of saying, hey, I just connected the dots, and there's no disputing it. This is Jesus of Nazareth, was God robed in flesh, God walking on this earth. And then he says, and obviously the realization that, so when the women went to the sepulcher and it was empty, it was actually empty. Jesus is risen, and then he reveals himself. So same likewise in our walk with God. Sometimes we may not be seeing anything, but if we dig into the word, if we really root that word into our heart as we're seeking after that intimate relationship, slowly God will reveal more and more to us as we go into a deeper relationship. And then there's the power of life and death. The power of life and death. In Matthew 12, 33 and 37, this here's Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Power of life and death is in the tongue. And what my tongue speaks is based on what is in my heart. If I'm hiding the word of the Lord in my heart, yes, it's growing my relationship with God. It's given me power over Satan, but my goodness, it is giving me literally the power to speak life and death, not only into things around me, but into my own salvation. If I'm hiding this, the more and more that I hide into my heart, the more and more of the abundance of my heart will speak good things. It'll speak life. It'll speak the fruit of the Spirit. But my, if I'm not hiding the word of the Lord in my heart, if I'm not applying it, what is going to be coming out of my mouth? It's going to be speaking damnation to my own soul. So I need to be careful to make sure that I'm hiding the word of the Lord in my heart and actually truly, deeply applying it. In Proverbs 18 and 20, 21, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And I've got the Apostolic Study Bible here, and For those of you that have the Apostolic Study Bible, it's got really good, kind of neat notes to dig into on the bottom here. And I want to read the note for this first verse is, the term belly in Scripture often refers to the inner person or your spirit. So, a man's spirit shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And the phrase, the fruit of the mouth, means words. When someone knows that he has said the right thing, that he has spoken wisely, he has inner satisfaction. And the phrase, increase of the lips, describes the productivity of wholesome words. Genuine fulfillment comes from learning how to control one's tongue to speak only pure, productive words. Well, the tongue, we know, as Scripture says, is the most unruly part of our body, the most difficult part of us to control. But if I've got this word of the Lord in my heart, if I've studied it, I've meditated on the precepts, and I delight in the statutes of the Lord, it's going to be easier to control. And not only will my words bring an increase and bring fruit, but as it says, a man's belly or a man's spirit shall be satisfied. And then verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love the word, you're going to have life coming out. If you love sin, you're going to have sin coming out. You're going to be speaking life or death into your own life. Now, one thing that I kind of find interesting too is that faith, out of the abundance of the heart doth mouth speak. Faith comes forth and moves things. And in John 7:38, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow living of water. So Jesus is talking about the Holy Ghost, which hadn't been poured out at that time. But if we look and we say, okay, they knew the scripture. We know the scripture. So by faith, I'm believing that the word is true. I haven't experienced anything, but I'm believing that God is true to his word. So I repent of my sins. I take a step, and I repent. And then I'm believing on his word. I go in and I get baptized in the name of Jesus. And I've got this word, this belief, this faith in me. Out of my belly shall flow living waters. In a way, I'd like to tie and say, if you're believing, you followed the scripture, you're taking each step, you should receive the Holy Ghost as the next step, because out of the abundance of your heart will your mouth speak. And so you've done each step, and you have taken it and believed. No, a new convert isn't going to know all the scripture. They aren't. But they know enough to believe on the word of the Lord to say, hey, I'm feeling something. I'm experiencing something. And I've got that little bit of light kindled in my heart. And so I've taken the step, and I've repented of my sins. And so Jesus is going to move in, and out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth will speak, and God will take over that unruly member and fill them with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 4:2, pastor often talks about, refers to this here, is, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And pastor talks about his time back at Papa Eberhardt's, where Papa Eberhardt took this scripture literal for the young ministers, and he could come up to you 5 minutes before, like the last song of the service is being sung, and Papa Eberhardt would say, "Hey, who's preaching tonight?" And Pastor said he'd lean over and go, well, the guy that's supposed to be preaching it doesn't look like he's here." And he says, "Oh, okay, well, you're preaching then." So in Timothy here, we clearly see that it is saying to be instant in season and out season for preaching, but at the same time, we need to be instant in season and out of season in all that we do, in all aspects of our life. If I've hidden the word of the Lord in my heart, then whenever I'm out, whenever I'm going through life, whenever a trial hits, I can either speak to it and say, "Hey, that's a temptation that I'm going to cut down," or I can look at it and say, "Hey, this is a situation that someone needs help." I can speak life into your situation through the Spirit that I've got living in me, through the word of the Lord that I have in my heart. I can apply it. I can speak life or death into any situation. And also, as a situation that in our household here, it seems like often as different situations happen, I will say, "Well, the Bible says," and we go to the scripture and apply it to whatever situation may have come up, or what are we thinking on, or what are we taking a look at. And what's awesome is when you hide the word of the Lord in your heart and you're actually working through it and applying it, you're going to be affecting those around you as well. And the other day, Andrea she was just kind of down and out a little bit, and Charles came in and he saw Sissy, and he walked over and he put his little hand on her. He said, "It's okay, Sissy," he says. "The Bible says don't cry, be happy." And while that's not necessarily scripturally sound, it goes to show that if you're doing what you should be doing, it's going to trickle down. Even Charles, he doesn't know the word of the Lord yet, but he knows where to go for comfort. He knows where to go to speak life and death into a situation.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.